Go ahead.
Blog Talk Radio.
We're on.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Blair Nash, coming to you live, and I have my co-host, Ted Santos. Ted, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, friends and family, for joining us. We are looking forward to a show that you may find quite controversial, and I think it's going to be exciting and very engaging.
Yeah, I was telling Ted, I hope I have some friends after this show, so it's going to be one of those shows. We kind of did a thing over the past where we just, you know, are more just kind of focused on, you know, a number of other topics and everything. But this show is going to be very interesting because we're going to kind of talk about speak on a topic that a lot of, it's kind of one of those things that a lot of people don't really, you know, it's one of those kind of elephant in the room topics. And the topic,
exactly.
Tell them what the topic is this evening.
Yep. So let me, Blair, I just want to say that no question, this is a radio show that was created by men and it's for men. And at the same time, we see this platform as an excellent way for women to really understand how men actually think. Like, how do we really talk amongst one another? And as what Blair just said, you know, the things that people really don't want to discuss, whether you call it political correctness, the dead elephant in the room that no one wants to discuss. So as much as this show is for men, it's also to help ladies. And this show is going to be rather controversial for some people. And some of those ladies who have may have an affinity for me, you may not have as much affinity for me, and before you get upset and saying that saying things that you don't like about women, I ask that you really take a step back and hear what myself, Blair, and I'm strongly encouraging the fellas to call in. And fellas, I'm saying this to you because some of these conversations we're about to have, I have them with women. And women may often think, well, that's your opinion. So I need you guys to step in, get in this call, and we're going to talk about something that Blair and I read this article about China. And in China, the way they see marriage and relationships, if a woman hits 30 years old, They have a name for her. It's called Shen Nu. Shen, S-H-E-N, Nu, N-U. And Shen Nu means leftover. So a woman hits 30, she's seen as a Shen Nu, a leftover. And no one wants a leftover. So women are strongly encouraged to marry before they hit 30 years old so that they won't have such a hard time finding a husband. And there is a lot of pressure, and those children tend to listen to their parents. However, there are two phenomena occurring in China. One is a lot of Chinese are going abroad, like to Europe and the United States to study in college, and they're coming back with these new ideals and wanting to marry later. We're going to talk about this idea of Shen Nu. And the other thing that's happening is there are, back in the 80s and 90s, a lot of women aborted girls. So now there's a surplus of men, like 30 million more men than women. And that's creating a problem for men to find women. So what you may find is some of these women called Shen Nu may be able to find husbands. However, the real thought here is if Shen Nu is a leftover in China, should we embrace this kind of philosophy in the U.S.? Should men start to look at women as hitting 30 and being not necessarily the best choice, an optimum choice for marriage? So we're going to open up. When we open up the lines, I really want to hear from guys. And I think this philosophy does exist in the U.S., We're just covert about it. We're more politically correct. When a woman, you ladies have a much smaller window of opportunity. And if you look at it as a football game. From 15 to 19, you ladies are in the first quarter and you're having fun. The guys are chasing you. Second quarter, you're from 20 to 24, and still guys are chasing you. But by 25 to 30, things start to change for you. And that fourth quarter is the last quarter of the game, from 30 to 35 to 34. Men actually start looking at you differently. And I'm going to say some of the things, and Blair, you'll have thoughts about this too. But
absolutely.
I'd like to hear from some of the guys and what they say about this. So some of my thoughts about this, about women who do think it's okay to wait for marriage, it's not as cut and dry as some of you ladies. There are a few things for you to consider, and one is, they've done a lot of research in looking at women who have multiple sexual partners. And what they found was women who had, the number started at six. When a woman had six sexual partners, she's three times more likely to have an unstable relationship. And some of you may say, well, maybe she's unstable and that's why she has so many partners. Maybe, but there's a neuroscience behind it, and I'll talk about some of that a little later on the call. But the more women she, the more sexual partners a woman has over six, the less likely her marriage is to work out. So the woman who has one or two sexual partners and marries, her chances of a successful marriage are significantly higher than a woman who has three, six, 10, or 20. As those numbers go up, the emotional stability goes down. There's another thing, and this is what some of you ladies may find most controversial about what I'm going to say. And we hear a lot of women who talk about they are getting a great education and they're going to have a great job. Well, fellas, I'm going to ask you to consider another way. And maybe someone is called in and you're moving around, I have a request. If you've called in, can you put your phone on mute because there's a lot of noise in the background.
Right.
So, fellas,
absolutely.
Fellas, for you guys, I'm going to ask you to look at women who pontificate and brag about their college degrees and their jobs, which I'm all for education. And it's great when you can have a profession, when you have a professional wife. But let's look at this another way. A high school athlete goes to college to play professional basketball, football, baseball, whatever it is. And what we tell that person to do is make sure you get your education as a backup plan. Because if you get hurt in sports or you don't make the professionals, at least you have your education, you can fall back on that. Now, you get a guy like LeBron James, he comes out of high school, and his attitude is, I am the backup plan. And he not only does he make it in the pros, he becomes a star, and he's, you know, considered the greatest of all time. So he was the backup plan. The ladies who go to college, they get a great job. Their education and job is a backup plan for when they fail at marriage. So they've become so focused and obsessed with the job and the education that they actually never learn how to be a wife and how to build a marriage with a man. And I know some people who have some other thoughts on, like, what's the real purpose of marriage. And I'd love to have you guys call in. So ladies who want to wait, I'm asserting that men are already looking at you in not the most favorable way once you cross 30, and especially 35 and 40 and you hit 50. You're seen very differently than a woman who's 25. And your backup plan, it's great to have an education, but if your backup plan is so that you can be a wife who's very dismissive to her husband and walk away, Blair, what are the stats on divorces? Because a lot of women, they think men are walking away from marriages. But what are the actual stats? Who makes the request for divorce most of the time? And what are the stats?
I think
I'd be happy. I'd be delighted to tell you. So, yeah, like you said, it's so interesting, Ted, because when we talk about marriage, we always have this kind of this misnomer that, you know, guys don't want to be married. Guys don't want to be married. Well, if you go to any sort of like realistic, legitimate source, whether it be Pew Research, whether it be Google, whatever, it will tell you very clearly that 70%
wow.
of women
wow.
file for divorce. So the first thing you have to ask, you know, so then when I tell women this, like I did a workshop and I told them, I said 70% of women file for divorce. And they said, well, that's because men don't be acting right in the marriage and everything. And I said, well, wait a second, you know, let's go back just a moment. So this is a guy who you properly vetted out, right? This is a guy that you said that, you know, hey, I know this guy, you know, back to front. You know, I've asked all the questions. I've gotten all the information. I've gotten all the – 70% is a huge number. The issue is it is, and I don't want to veer away from marriage too much, but I will speak on the whole idea of divorce. We live in a society right now that actually gives women a lot of benefit for actually filing for divorce. When you file for divorce, let's say you're a husband, you know, husband and wife, you know, woman walks down one day, I don't want to be married to you. Doesn't even matter the reason, whether she wants to go back to her ex, whether she just wants to run the streets, whether she's just tired of looking at him, I don't want to be bothered with you anymore, right? So now you're in a situation where, okay, she doesn't want to be married anymore. Now, who usually leaves the home? The man does. So now he has to go find a residence of his own to, you know, be at, whether he crashes at his boy's house or he has to go get a little, you know, no-bedroom apartment or whatever.
Right, right.
To just kind of, you know, stay where he's at. So not only does he have to do that, but he also has to still pay the mortgage on the home. We haven't even put into the factor of having children. When you have children So now you have to have your own residence, pay whatever you have, pay the mortgage on your current home, pay your wife alimony, and then still in addition to that, pay some, you know, still pay money to see your kids, which, of course, that goes into a whole other chasm because now you got to play with the courts and everything else. So going all the way back to it, 70% of women file for divorce. Why is that case? Well, as I said, because they are given benefit and given a lot of opportunities if they file for divorce. So the whole idea of marriage, there's really no incentive for a lot of women to stay married because they're like, you know what, if he doesn't go along with my program, then all I got to do is pull the cord on this marriage and voila, he's going to be in a much worse situation than I am. All the stats prove it, ladies. There's no, you know, there's just no getting around it. So that's what we're here to talk about, see. Oh, yeah.
So Blair, there are a few other things I could say, let's see who's on the line. Let's see who's on the line.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have a couple callers and everything, so let me try to bring one caller in. Hold on just a moment. Caller, you are on the air. Area code 205. Go ahead and speak, please.
Who has a 205 area code? Maybe they have us on mute. Give them a second to work that out.
Caller, are you there? Nobody answered? Okay.
They may just want to listen and not talk. So.
Okay. All right, cool. Let's try another one real quick. Hold on a minute. Caller, you are on the air.
What's
Hello,
the area
caller?
Code?
Area code what? Is 818.
818 area code.
Hello, caller. All right, so we're going to table that for a moment. We're going to pick up some more calls here in a little bit. So we'll just keep going full steam ahead. So yeah, that's what we're dealing with. The situation is such in the United States that men are somewhat disincentivized in the aspect of wanting to get married. You know, as I said, you know, when you think about the whole notion that, you know, a woman can wake up pretty much at any given time and decide he doesn't want to be married. As I said, for whatever the reason is, you know, she can wake up and say, I just simply don't want to be married to you anymore, or I don't want to be married anymore. It doesn't matter. And at that point, the man is on a downward roller coaster from there. And this is where a lot of men are very get very skittish and very have a lot of anxiety about marriage, because they realize, you know, even if I make $200,000 a year, that's one thing. But even if I only make $50,000 a year, that's going to severely impact my income and my quality of life. And so men see it as a huge risk. And for the most part, men just aren't risk takers anymore. That's why they elect
What do you think of this Shenmue? Like in China, they're calling women leftovers. I mean, do you think that has an impact on, since so many women are waiting longer, do you think that can also have an impact on a man choosing to marry?
You said, does it have an impact?
Yeah, what are you saying? Some men are electing to avoid marriage, and, you know, so, yes, the court system may be in favor, but what if there's also so many women have waited for marriage, and so many women have been told they can do everything a man does, and the findings are women sleep with a lot of guys, just more than five. That emotional instability starts to kick in, and that you could be very undesirable for it. Once the man really gets to know you, marriage may be a bad idea, especially combining that with a court system that's going to be in her favor, and she's already become somewhat unstable. Do you think that has an impact and women believing that waiting is in their best interest, and maybe it's not?
Good question. Very good question. Let me say one quick thing. I see a few more callers have called in. I am going to get to you momentarily, so just hold the line, please. I promise you I'm going to get to you. But back to your question, yeah, it definitely has an impact. Because of what I do, as I said, I'm an author. I have, you know, my social media following. You know, I've done blogs. I've spoke to people, et cetera, et cetera. I do coaching. And one of the things that I really struggle with in speaking with a lot of our women is the level of ego sometimes that is there when you are trying to tell them things that are very obvious. I always tell women, I say, if you can kind of unclench your face for just a second and listen to what I'm saying, I'm not here to be mean. I'm not here to bully you. I promise you. I am here to help you. I'm here to be an ally. And if you see someone, you know, and I gave an illustration. You and I have had a number of talks, you know, kind of offline. And I gave an illustration one time of LeBron James. And for any of you, you know, I'm sure everybody knows who LeBron James is, but maybe a lot of people don't really know kind of how his career has been. When LeBron first came out, they were like, okay, he's going to be a generational game changer. You just knew it. But it took him a really long time to actually win a title. Why? Because although LeBron was extremely talented, although he was gifted beyond belief, there were a number of things that were flawed in his game. And so people were like, hey, you need a consistent little, you know, mid-range jumper and everything, or you need to get them free throws together, and you need a post game in order to really be dominant. Once you get a post game, dude, it's a wrap. It is a wrap. So, you know, he went through, you know, year one, two, three, four, five, six, set, and no post game. And people were screaming like, you know, you could possibly go down as the greatest basketball player ever, but you need a post game. Finally, I believe it was year eight, end of the season, year eight and everything. They got knocked out the finals. He went and worked out with Hakeem Olajuwon, got a post game, boom, came back, won a ring. Now he uses post game, boom, won a ring the next year, you know. And then, unfortunately, what's happened is he's kind of reverted back to his old ways of not being a post-up player. You know, he wants to kind of
–
he kind of wants to go through the lane and play what we call bully ball. And that will work sometimes, but you can't do that each and every time. So I equate that to a lot of times how it is in talking with a lot of our women, in that I'm not here to tell you that you don't have a lot of the intangibles that you need. What I'm saying to you is that there are a few missing components that you don't see, that a person who's kind of sitting on the bench is like, oh, I see. That's clear as crystal. I see that. I see it. And so what I try to help women to understand is, I am your ally. I swear to God I am. And so going back to, you know, the question, you know, does it have an impact? Absolutely it does. Why? Because what we have to do, a lot of us as black men, you know, myself, you, and other men that I kind of am surrounded around, and I have tried to, you know, speak with women, is we are having to somewhat deprogram a lot of our women from a lot of stuff they've been taught over decades, really. So the idea that I'll be the first to tell you, I get frustrated. There's times where I'm just like, throw the paper in the air and like, it's just way out of my head. I mean, it's just way out of my lane. But there's a lot of things I won't even say a lot of things, but there are a number of things that our women don't really see. Why? Because they're in the game. Like I use LeBron, just like LeBron, you know, he thought he was the greatest, and then he started meeting people who may not have been as gifted talent-wise, but they realize, okay, he's just going to run through the lane. All I got to do is just stand there, and they're going to call the foul on him. And so for a lot of our women, they don't understand that there are some basic things that you have to understand about men. There are some things that you have to understand about dating. And you have to, and I was having a conversation, I was having a conversation online with some gentlemen today, and I said, someone said something very, very profound. They said, women have to learn how to position themselves properly in order to meet that quality guy.
Well, you can't say that. Right. You have to know your target market.
You can't think, well, you know, I got beautiful skin and I got a good career and I've always got men. Well, you know, you always have men talking with you, but are men actually trying to make anything happen with you? You can't sit here and go over decades of time and think that, you know, a person is going to buy the idea, I just don't want a guy right now. That doesn't fly. For men who use logic and who are looking in at the situation, they're looking at it like, that don't really sound right. So this is where I think this is where people like myself, this is one of the reasons why we have the show, and this is why a lot of people just kind of are like, you know, we need our women to understand something, because, sweethearts, ladies, you are losing the game out here. And some of the women have lost the game, and then they're mad because they're like, these men are here. No, it's not the men. You've got to learn the game. You have to. So,
well, and Blair, just something, it's with the feminist movement really did sort of infect all women. With this has infected all women in the U.S.
Oh,
I mean, it started to go abroad, but just telling women they can do everything a man can do without really logically thinking that through was an inaccurate statement to have them believe.
Absolutely.
In. Who do we have on the line here?
Yeah, I was going to say, let me grab up. We have a number of calls here, so let me grab one right now. Caller, go right ahead, 513 area code. Go ahead, please.
513 area code. Can you hear us?
Hey,
yes. Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can. Yeah, go right ahead, caller.
Hey, what's going on, Blair? How you doing?
Not too bad. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Solomon. I'm calling from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hey, Solomon.
How
thanks
are you,
for calling.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Did you have a comment? Did you have a question? Or what were your thoughts on what we were saying?
Solomon,
what do you think of what I was saying about women who wait a long time? Is your comment about that or something else?
Well, yeah, I was going to comment on that too. First off, I think your analogy using LeBron was great, because here's the irony. A lot of women, you know, when you look at LeBron, the goal is to win the ring, to win
Absolutely.
Multitudes of rings. That's the ultimate
right.
goal, pun intended with the ring part. So when you look at that, women, I feel like, have the tendency to look at it like, well, even if I don't win the ring, I'll go down as the greatest. Like, you know, if you look at LeBron's career right now, he's on pace to probably be the all-time leading scorer. You know, he gets jokes. I hear it all the time about how he's – it seems like he's a stat stuffer. Like, he just wants to lead in all the categories, even though he doesn't have a lot of rings. And it's funny, but it's like, again, you hit the nail on the head mentioning that, because I feel like you have a lot of women that think that way. Like, well, even if I don't get the prize and get the ring, I'm still going to go down great because I have this career, I have a great house, I have a job. But they don't realize that when you eventually do settle down, retire, or whatever, you do reflect just like that NBA player will. Like, you know, damn, I went down as the greatest in the stat arena, but I didn't achieve the ring part. So to me, that was very
right.
profound. But
great analogy.
Do,
wow. Yep.
Yeah, I do look at a lot of situations where I feel like women rest on their laurels and they are thinking to themselves, well, I can wait on marriage. You know, I don't want to have to share resources. I don't want to have to share time. You know, I'm the prize. And, you know, a man needs to accept me regardless. And they don't realize that there has never been anything that tells you as a woman that you are the prize except people saying you should be the prize. You know, I've asked this question to women before. Where does it say, you know, like, for instance, where does it say that anywhere in any rule book per se, the Bible or anywhere where it says I'm supposed to or I'm required to open a door for you or I'm supposed to do this for you or do that for you? That's never been established. That's just something that it came along from another human and it was said. And it's like all of a sudden it became gospel. Like, a man is a real man, quote unquote, if he holds the door, he pays for everything,
right.
if he does this, if he does that. And it's just like the problem with that is it's created a huge sense of entitlement with women,
yeah.
unfortunately, where they feel like you're supposed to do that just because. Well, what are you supposed to do? And then they get offended. Rather than even answer the question, they get offended.
Exactly.
How dare you?
Exactly.
Hold the line on that, Solomon. Tay, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, what do you think?
Well, he's nailing something. So, you know, if a woman feels like, well, if you don't do all these things, I'm not going to marry you, and you could be a really great guy and have a great marriage, but, you know, aside from having the ring on her finger, why are we getting married? Because, to be honest, the whole idea of dating is, if my job is to take you out and take you to expensive dinners and travel and I've got to show you excitement, the last thing that's happening in that process is I'm never getting to know you. It's sort of under very false circumstances that I get to see, but I don't really get to see who you are. So I don't know if it's worth investing the rest of my life and my hard-earned money in someone I don't even know. The woman may feel that, well, she was taught that all she has to do is give you sex and maybe cook sometimes, and some of the women don't even know how to cook, but if she gives you sex, you should be happy, and you should put a ring on her finger, and you should pay for everything, you know, even when we're married. So
that goes to that.
You're bringing up something. Yep, exactly.
And, you know, if I could add, it's deep because I feel like that has created, especially with our generation, you know, I'm 35, but in today's time, that's created what I call the emotional thinker generation. You know, it's a lot of emotional thinking going on with everything, but mainly with that process you just spoke of, because it's like now if you even question that, as a man, you are attacked. You're considered less than. You're not a real man. Some women go as far as to call you homosexual, because a real man doesn't question, what a woman is about. They should just be focused and be happy that they have a woman that might be willing to give them some sex. And some that they'll get that sex, and then they get married, and then the woman uses that as a control mechanism. And then it becomes, well, why are so you only got married to have sex? And it's like, no, I'm human. I desire you.
Solomon, you hit the nail on the head. That, you know, typically when you hear anybody that says a real man will do X, Y, Z, it's usually followed up by something that they want the man to do. And it's like you said, it's a control, manipulative way of speaking about something, of speaking about getting men to do something. Because as I tell women, you can't even define what a man is. I can't define what a woman is. I'll be the first to tell you. Never say a real woman is this. No, I don't. I can only tell you what kind of woman most men like. That's all I can do. So if I can't do that, then how can you possibly tell what a real man is?
Hey, Solomon.
Yeah, man.
Solomon, you're 35. If you have your choice of a woman, would you marry a 40-year-old woman?
Honestly, I can't say I wouldn't. Here's why.
But I'm asking you, if your first choice, would you seek a woman younger than you, or at 35, and if let's say I don't know if you have children, but if you have no children, you're 35. Are you first going to look for a 40-year-old woman, or are you going to look for a younger woman as a first choice?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I see the context. No, I definitely would look my age or younger. Me personally, I wouldn't want a woman too young because, you know, I know we
definitely
men, you know, we can look at things as molding the woman, but I necessarily wouldn't have the patience for that too much molding. But, you know, I definitely would look at my age or maybe a 5-year range, maybe, you know, nothing more than 29. I would say 6 years would be my limit.
Okay. So what do you think of women who hold off, like this article about the way they do it in China? Do you think that's in a woman's best interest to just hold out?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Why?
I think, you know, I do still believe in the sanctity of marriage because the reality is, you know, that's what things are set on when it comes to transfer of wealth, generational wealth, and resources and stuff like that. But I do feel like the longer you wait, it's like now the generation we're in and our men that are waking up, it's like now we're asking those questions. What value do you have? You know, why should I marry you? You know, now you're at 40 years old, even physically, unless you're Angela Bassett or something along that line,
right.
What value do you have at that age? Why should I you know, look at you as a helpmate? You know, and that's a very valid thing. You know, I think men are starting to ignore the deflections and the attacks and all that. Because again, marriage, you know, it doesn't benefit us as much as it does a woman. You know, I know actually I do have 3 children and I do want them to see me and their mother together. But outside of that, you know, looking at the system it has always been, you know, if I'm a guy that I hit the lottery or I become wealthy, it's always there that guess what? If me and mom don't work out, she gets half of my assets. You
right.
know, and
right.
she can hit yeah. me child support. And if we're married, that's court ordered. So it's like,
yeah.
You know, she came in a relationship with a duffel bag and a couple of boxes in the car, and I had all this wealth. How does, you know, how does she get half? That's not fair.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? And
yeah.
the other way she can use the system to torture us with, so to speak, I call it torture, that men traditionally have never had as weapons. So it's like when you look at it that way, like a woman always has the advantage with marriage. Like, she has more to gain than we do.
Right. Hey, Solomon,
Solomon
Blair, can you see if there's another... Go ahead. What were you going to say, Blair?
I was going to say, Solomon, thank you so much for your call, brother. I appreciate you calling in. I have a few more calls I want to take and everything, so if you want to just hang out and listen to the rest of the show, you're more than welcome to. So thank you
very much, sir. No
thank
problem,
you.
Man.
Thanks a lot, Solomon.
Thanks for having me.
All right. All right, no problem. Appreciate it. Thanks. All right, we're going to try and take one more call here, and give me just a moment. Caller, you are on the air, calling from area code 347. Go right ahead.
347, can you hear us? Call on 347, that's New York. You're on the air.
347, going once, going twice. All right, we're moving to the next caller. Bear with me just a moment. That was 347. Okay, we're going to try another one. This is area code 917. You are live. Go right ahead.
Who's on a 917? We'd love to hear from you. If you have us on mute.
I am on the 917. Can't hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
You can hear me?
Say your name and where you're calling from, please. Yes. What's your
917? Judith?
Yes. Judith, where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from New York City.
How you doing,
New
Judith?
York.
Go right ahead with your comment or question.
Well, it's an interesting topic, and the system is not a perfect system, but I think the system it was set up to make sure that the children are taken care of in a marriage after divorce.
You're talking about the
child
support system.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I just
want
to make sure
me?
You're
Are
talking
we hit-
about the child support system.
You're talking about the what?
You are referring to the child support system, is that correct?
Yes, that component.
Okay, yeah,
and, you know, like when you get a divorce and the wife gets half, and yes, in some situations it's not fair because some women do use it as a way of getting as much as possible out of the marriage. But the intention when they get married is to do that, but it's not like all the time, but there is that does happen. I know that the system is set up to kind of protect the children, especially young children, until the age of, I think it's 18 or 25 if they're not in college. Then the child support stops. But it's not a perfect system, and there are some instances where the husband, if the wife is making more than the husband gets and the husband is taking care of the children after the divorce, then she has to pay child support. That situation does exist.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Jay, what do you think about that?
What do I think about that? Oh.
No, he asked me, what do I think, Judith?
Okay.
Sure, it happens, but, you know, if I build a $500 million business and we get a divorce and she gets half of that, I mean, that's devastating. You know, if I have a business before I meet her and get a divorce, that can be devastating.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree that it is devastating. It is devastating.
Because she would have never gotten half of it. If we remained married, she wouldn't have gotten half of it. I mean, that would be an irresponsible way to spend your resources. But it's devastating. You know, you work hard inherit. You inherit property from your parents, and she gets half. I mean, that's just devastating.
Judith, let me just interject and say this, and I'm going to bring it down to more kind of a layman's, you know, kind of. Say you're making $70,000 a year. You don't have to do the $500 million. Say you're making $70,000-$80,000 a year, which is a very reasonable salary. And if you now have that cut in half, that has taken your quality of life back drastically. So you know, I know you mentioned that, you know, yeah, it's not a you know, a perfect system. It's an extremely flawed system. The system is not working, and that's what we're trying to help and trying to kind of bring light to. Because first of all, the child support system is one that isn't really something that needs to be there. If you are a couple, you can say, hey, here's what I agree to, you know, and you can kind of come to some term, maybe in the middle or whatever, and that's that. You don't necessarily have to have the child support system get involved. A lot of women, a lot of our women especially, weaponize the child support system against our men, and this is one of the reasons why our men are so upset and aggravated when the child support system gets involved. You're talking about your taxes getting seized. You're talking about loss of employment, loss of your license, going to prison, etc.
Yeah.
So to say that it's just like, oh, well, you know, that may happen every once in a while. No. There are plenty men who have been dogged by this rigged system. It is a rigged system. It's a system that's rigged, and it's a system that doesn't necessarily have to be there. And that's where a lot of black men get so angry about it, because it's like, we could actually work this out. Yeah, I might not be able to pay you this tremendous amount that you want, but if we can come down to some sort of understanding, then we can do that.
Yeah.
But a lot of our women don't do that. So they go to Mr. Charlie and say, okay, well, you know, I'm going to go get the law involved. Now the law's involved. Now they don't care nothing about you and your, you know, as far as the black man, as far as his salary and all the losses that he's taken. And this is where, you know, you see all these situations where men are like, well, bump it. I'm just going to work under the table, or I'm going to quit that job and go do this else, you know, whatever, so they can't find me or what have you. It's a flawed system, period.
It's a terrible system. But, you know, some men, what they do is they, before they get married, they sign a prenuptial
agreement.
Yeah. And I know personally that's, you know, my brothers have done that. And, it is a horrible system. It really is. But I can see someone, you know, I don't know how that can be changed. But I'm sure it can.
I do.
I don't know how would that change? How would you create a system?
I could tell you very, very easily. Very, very easy. Very easy solution.
Okay.
You get enough women, whatever that number is, hundreds, thousands, and you have them descend on the court system and say, we want the rules changed, period. Most of our women aren't going to do that because, of course, that takes money out of their pocket, and again, like I said, they're in a lot of our women are in bed with the court system, so they're not going to approach the courts and say, "Hey,
but
let's
did
make
anyone
change.
Ever
let's
try that? Are you
situation.
Just assuming that? Did
I,
anyone
I
ever try it? Did
well,
anyone ever
you know,
try?
I mean, as Mama said, the proof is in the pudding. You would see. You know, policy being moved, or you would see some changes. But this has been going on for decades now. For as much as we have all these other things that a lot of our black women focus on, a lot of these movements, a lot of these causes, why do we never see them ever try to galvanize and come together and say, you know what, this court system is kind of screwed up. It's really fracturing our men. It's moving our men away from us. We don't really need the court system. Why don't we put together a whatever, and get a policy together, at least attempt and try. I don't know of anyone that's doing that. So if you're saying that is the case, please, I'm all ears.
Well, I have never heard of anyone doing that, but I'm sure if you thought of it, then it is possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if you have that idea, it is possible.
Well, yeah, but here's the issue. You know, the change of this is not going to come from people like myself or Ted or other men. It has to come from the women, because the women are the ones who essentially run the system. So the methods are going to have to come from them. As I said earlier, you see women you know, come together and, you know, for any other purpose. But when it's saying, hey, let's come together and bring some levity and parity back to this thing, all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, maybe some other sorority or somebody else will do it. No, get together and do it. It is doable. So it's not something, I mean, you know, it's not something that men are going to be able to do, because then all of us, you know, the women are going to say, oh, he just don't want to pay. But if women come together and say, hey, we are going to make fundamental changes to this, you can't have me believe this couldn't get done, not even for a second. So this is, again, this is why a lot of our men are frustrated, because they don't see that our women are on the side, are on our side. They number one, they see that women use the court systems against them, and in addition to that, now not only is the court system used against them, but you now have a system where you now have a situation where you don't even see women trying to even remedy what's going on. So that's why men are like, okay, well, you know, you do your thing there. So, yes.
Do we have any other callers, Blair?
We sure do. Thank you so much for your call and everything, and feel free to just keep listening in. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take one more call. Caller, you're on the air. Area code 732. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Mr. Blair, Mr. Santos. I'm listening to your program here today about the ladies. They're never going to refuse that dear child support. You know what I mean? They're not gonna knock that down. But I try to tell some young brothers that's in it like that, try to hang in there as long as you can until the child will get to an adult age, and maybe you can come out that marriage with your life, you know what I mean, with your money, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry. Say your name and where you're calling from again one more time, please.
Oh, this is James Elson calling from the state of Delaware.
Hey, James. How are you?
Yes, sir. I was listening to the lady guys talking about their child support. Well, that's never going to knock that down. You know what I mean? Because that's taking money out the child's mouth or taking money out the house. But
right.
I try to tell some young folks, you know what I mean, when they in marriage like that, it might be going downhill. You try to stay in there as long as you can until the child is adult age, and maybe you can survive once it's over with. Because like trying to take care of two houses at one time is kind of rough.
Right, and I'll say this, and I want to get to let Ted comment and everything. Just to kind of give fairness to the whole situation. I am not saying that the men are not responsible, because we actually are responsible. We are very responsible.
Sure.
in this whole scenario. What I'm saying is that when you look at the penalties and the punishment that usually is doled out when child support is not paid, it's usually toward the men. You don't hear about women at all. You don't hear about women going to jail because she didn't pay child support. I've never heard that. You don't hear about that. If it does happen, it's in an extreme circumstance. So what I just ask women to do is to sit back and, you know, while you're thinking about this program or whatever later in this evening or this week, think about what we're saying and ask yourself, if the tables were turned, if this were flipped and men basically had the power and the control, would you be sitting back and kind of resting on, you know, just thinking that the system would change and that there would be some sort of overhaul? And I guess my answer probably to that would be no. So all we're saying is, hey, be fair in this thing. We're not asking for you to go away and not, you know, for there not to be any sort of child support. Because if you, you know, if you did what you did, you should be paying child support, period, point blank.
Right.
All
we're saying
is get it back to a level of fairness. Fairness, that's all we are asking. Ted, go right ahead.
Well, so even before you ever get to marriage and children, the problem really may be in the setup of the whole relationship. It may have been doomed from the beginning. If two people came together for the wrong reason, you have a bigger problem.
Yeah, well in some cases, not all cases, in some cases, you know what I mean. But when it comes down to that, you know, sometimes it takes a long time to figure person out to learn each other, period. You know, it takes – you can hide something from somebody at least by 2 years or a year.
James, if you don't mind me asking, are you currently married or have you been married in the past?
Oh, I've been married in the past. You know what I mean? I've been in the game for a long time. Yes, sir. I was in the game for a long time. I was married 43 years.
Right. Okay, cool. You know, so what's your overall theme and feeling on marriage as a whole?
Oh, marriage is good. There's nothing wrong with it. You know what I mean? I have no problem with it. You know what I mean? But things do happen.
Okay.
But when it comes down to the point where the marriage is over with, you know what I mean, I figure everybody should walk, you know what I mean, their own way. You shouldn't be out there trying to hurt the next partner, anything like that, you know what I mean. Take whatever you have, split it up, and you go your way and I go my way, and that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so let me just make sure. You're saying, you know, you're married, let's say you're married 20 years, and you guys have been sharing, doing whatever, you know, in the 20 years, hey, we don't need to be together anymore, this is getting ugly. You're saying you take your basketball and go back to your corner, I take mine and go back, and everything is cool. I don't owe you nothing, you owe me zero, that's how it should be, correct?
Exactly, especially if there ain't no kids involved.
Okay. All right. What you think about that, Ted?
And that's how mine went down.
some people have that set up in a prenuptial. So
part of what we
were getting at also, and how men and women come together. Is that, you know, as a guy, there are a lot of things you're responsible for, you know, the dating and maybe Uncle Jimmy, in your time, maybe things were a little bit simpler and easier, but now women want you to take them on expensive dates and show them excitement, and if you didn't plan it out properly, it's not even about getting to know the person anymore. It's really about their entertainment. And the problem with that is you really don't get to know the person.
True that, you know, because that sounds like, to me, you know what I mean, he or she is a gold digger, you know what I mean? See how much money he got, you know?
Well, it may not be gold digger, but it may have become so much the norm that people have forgotten about the reason why they're going out together, which is really to get to know one another.
True.
In entertainment. And so, you know, we're having so much fun, and then we get married and find out we never really got to know one another and can't even get along.
I don't think you got to spend a week's pay on a date, you know what I mean, just to get to know somebody. You know what I mean? That's a little bit too much, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, women
are some of the best dates. Some of the best dates you can have out there, you can go and get a $20 bottle of wine and go sit somewhere, you know,
that's what I'm talking about.
And get a bag of chips, you know. And let me just say this real quick. If a woman really, really likes you, she don't mind at all. She don't mind at all. You can sit there in a car with her and talk with her, and she will be so just fine when she really is feeling you like that.
Is
that the way it used to happen before? Like you just, instead of spending all this money, a man and woman came together and they talked, they got to know one another, and over time they decided they wanted to get married. That's the way it was before.
That's the way it was. There wasn't a whole lot of money involved, man. I don't know where this came from, you know. You know, you got to almost take a woman to the Bahamas on the first date, man. That's crazy. that's insane, man.
I met this woman once, and she said, you know, guys were asking her out for dates, and she said, well, my last date, the guy, he owned his own plane, and he flew me to another city for dinner and flew me back. She said, if you can't top that, I don't want to go out with you.
Well, you should have told her, let me get on out your way so you can go find him. Go find him.
How can you possibly compete with that? How can you do that? Yeah.
You can't. I think somebody watched too much TV.
Right. It sets the bar so high. It's like those guys who get a hot air balloon by the Eiffel Tower and propose to their woman.
Nah.
And it's like, how are you going to talk that? You can't, now you don't put the pressure on. So what I tell guys, don't have the pressure. She really likes you. She will, you know, as I said, I'm not saying that it should be the what you focus on. But if she likes you, she will sit in the car, listen to music with you, and have a great time.
Sure, you're right about that. And that brother with that hot air balloon, he don't put that thing on his charge card. It's going to take him about 2 years to pay that off.
Right.
See, you well earned, you know, man.
Sitting there eating mayonnaise sandwiches every day at work, trying to pay that off.
Let's talk about the after effect. So let's say the ladies are, they even want to prolong marriage because they want to just date and have a lot of fun with a lot of different guys, right?
Yeah.
And then at some point the clock runs out, right? Uncle Jimmy, talk about what happens when these ladies get older and you're 50, 60 years old and know you're going to live to be 80, 85, 90 years old. How do they handle being alone, and are they engaging men the way they used to, like they're the prize? What does that look like when they get older?
It's bad on their part, you know what I mean? And no woman can't be jumping in out of bed because her body ain't built up like that, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because they got too much emotional tied up in that. So they can't do that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So that's you know what I mean? That's a no-no. But
so
when
they
get to an
older
age, when they get older, man, you know what I mean, all of a sudden, you know what I mean, they really on the hunt. Now they want to find somebody, you know what I mean?
They don't want you to take them on an expensive date. They just want a man.
Yeah, they just want a man. You know what I mean? They'll sit at home and watch TV with you.
Wow.
It's no big thing at all. They don't want all that extravagant stuff, man. They just want somebody they can sit at home and watch TV with.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm running across.
Right. I think, like you said, James, I mean, when you get to a certain point, when you get to a certain station in your life, when you've done all the other things, I think especially for, you notice it with women who are, you know, who have kind of gotten past that, you know, oh, he's going to have to do all these special things. When they get to a certain point in life, like you said, they're more like, yeah, I mean, we could just sit around and talk and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's only, you know, the women who are like in their 30s and maybe 40 who kind of raise the bar and say, hey, you got to do X, Y, Z. And, you know, like I said, it's a manipulation factor because that's how women finesse free meals from men. They say, you a better man if you go pick up the check for me. And it's like, no, that's not what this is about. Because if I go and, you know, get the helium balloon and the shooting stars for you on our first date, what am I going to do when we're together for a year?
If I'm gonna spend all that money on the first day, we married already.
As a woman, you're not gonna give sex for the most part. Women are not gonna give sex on the first day. Like, well, you gotta work up to that. Well, why can't you work up to that great date that you're talking about? So yeah, let's sit here on the porch, really get a bag of Doritos and some sodas and just chill and talk.
There you go.
We'll see what's up. Maybe next time we'll go to one of them little $30 entree type of, you know, dinners or whatever. But don't sit here and tell me that you're going to make that a requirement for me out the gate.
Oh, no.
That's the problem.
No. That ain't going to happen. No. Somebody watch TV. That ain't going to never happen.
But see, it happens, though, and a lot of those women end up waiting, and they hit over 40, and the game has changed for them.
Now they'd be ready to accept anything then.
I was having a group discussion with some men, and we have something, and I know a lot of women are going to cringe and crush their phones when they hear this. There's something we have that's called the wall, where it's pretty much at a certain point you realize that your options are starting to dwindle. You know, it's a reality. You can't think
that
you're going to attract the same caliber and same type of men that you have when you're 22. That's not how this game works.
Uh-uh.
I always equate it to any sort of automobile. Hmm? If you go and look at an automobile, Yeah. If you go and look at an automobile that's a 2012, it doesn't have the same value as an automobile that's a 2019. It just doesn't. And
that's right.
How men, you know, I tell women, you don't decide your value. The men do.
Right.
And that goes goes for men. That goes the opposite way too. Women are the ones who decide men's marketability.
Blair, if that 2012 car is a Ferrari and it has 200,000 miles on it, it has even less value.
Right. And plus, it's a whole lot of money to keep that thing up too now.
Right. There's an understanding that people have to have. I should say that women have to have. Where I tell them all the time, get the best guy that you can when you're young. Don't wait until you're 35 and 40 thinking that that guy is going to be there. And one of the things that I tell our women all the time is that because black women, you know, look great for so long. I mean, you know, you see women who are 40 and 45, you're like, Jesus, really? Because our women are so long, they're kind of fooled into thinking that this is going to be or like this forever. But you don't realize that a guy, like you said, like the earlier caller said, I'm either going to get somebody my age or much younger. And men actually have that option. So get you a good one while you can.
Correct.
Because why? There's a whole other bumper crop of women coming right behind you who are 20 and 22 and 26 and who don't have all the other baggage and everything that you do. So be smart. Play the game smart. That's all.
Hey, listen. So, you know what I mean? Which is a good thing.
But
I wish you guys well on your radio station my first time.
Thanks
calling
a whole lot.
I thank you, and thank you for calling in, James. I greatly appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your evening, brother.
All right, same to you now.
All right, talk to you soon.
Hey, Blair, let's see if we can get one more call on here.
Hold on just a minute. See if we can get one more call, okay. Caller, are you there? 614 area. Go right ahead. Hello, caller?
Yes, 614.
614 area. 614. Yeah. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, it's on mute.
No, it's on. It's live. So, we're actually at the ending point of the show and everything. So let's hit on a couple closing points or whatever. We kind of got a little bit outside the lines with this one, but I think a lot of this has kind of a lot of micro macro pieces to it. So I definitely understand where we kind of, you know, dipped a little over here, dipped there, but, you know, kind of give some closing thoughts to what the caller said and everything.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts?
I'm asking you, what are your thoughts? I've been talking, so tell me what you're thinking, brother.
I kind of opened up with my thoughts.
I can definitely say, for me, I will just say that, you know, again, going all the way back to what I said in the very beginning, you know, you have to play the game smart. And a lot of our women simply aren't playing the game smart. They have the look, they have the body, they have everything else. But when you realize that that is not the dominant thing that quality men are actually looking for, yes, they want you to be they want you to look nice, but that's only a part of what you want. So once you realize that, you realize, as a woman, that, you know, whether it's fair or not, you're kind of against the clock. And to use those years smartly, use them wisely. Don't, you know, give all your great years to the best guys and then, you know, when you're 35 and 40, say, you know what, I'm ready to settle down. I've had my fun. Well, kind of like musical chairs, all the other good guys got scooped up. So to think that, you know, and so what happens with a lot of women is they say, well, I've always got guys, you know, that are, well, you know, guys may be, you know, want to talk with you, but who is really trying to make anything happen? And is he a quality man? Is he really the kind of man that you would want to build something with? Because guys are always
exactly.
You got great legs and a great body and a great rear end and face and all those other things. Guys are going to be there. But can you take one of those guys who is a top-tier individual and make something happen with him? And so this is where, I mean, because again, whether it's fair or not, these are not Blair's rules. These are just society's rules. Whether it's fair or not, women are judged by the kind and quality and caliber of man that get to marry them. Marry them. Again, not my rule. I'm just the messenger. So this is where I tell women, you have to be smart. You have to play this game, you know, again, position yourself properly. That's my thought. So go ahead.
So Blair, if we look at the shows we've done so far, and what you said just now is really good, because I think it was two shows ago, you asked the woman if she thought she – you asked her, do you think most women understand men? And she said no. I know she can't speak for all women, but, you know, let's just say a lot of women – are not totally comfortable in their understanding of men. And you combine that with them having, let's say, the inaccurate information about men. One is believing all a man wants is sex and food, and you've done your part as a woman. And you believe that, as you were saying, I look good, so I've got plenty of time. That's a formula for a not-so-good situation. One, if you do find someone and you have inaccurate information about men, you think sex and food is all that you need, and you look good, and the man, you're the prize, that may not work out as well as you want. And the other thing that happens is, if you think all the man wants is sex, you're as that same caller said, she's on the defense with men. So if you're on the defense, as the guy James said, it takes a while to get to know a woman. However, if you're on the defense and you're guarding sex because you think that's all I want, I'm really not getting to know you. So then I have to create all these distractions, excitement, so that you feel like you're having fun with me, but really you're on the defense. So I think if women could really just get to know a guy authentically, without the preconceived notion that you know what the guy wants, really find out what he wants. Because there are a lot of good guys out here. Some of them are in a friend zone, and there's no need for that. And some of them are not. But as you were saying, if you spend your 20s and early 30s hanging out with the guys who are going nowhere, and you hit 35 and 40 and you're looking for the top-tier guy, he's already taken. Mm-hmm. The music stops, and there's one chair left and 10 women.
Right.
And so ladies are going to, slug it out? I mean, you know, you hit 50 years old, and the guys are not coming around the way they used to. And people live 85, 90 years. To go from 45 or 50 to 85 or 90, that's a long time to live and being alone. And I know people say, well, I'm not alone. I have my family, friends, or you may have children. Your children grow up and they leave.
Absolutely.
So I know the thing I said is probably not the best taste in any woman's mouth, but if you're using your degree and the fact you have a job as a backup plan, even that can send you down the path of spending 35, 40 years by yourself, or in some cases the ladies have 14 cats. So if you want more than the cat and the dog, take time to get to know us, and really, and maybe we should have a show about marriage, like the purpose or the intention of marriage, and get, because I think men and women, it's so easy for us to come together, but all these games and all these presuppositions take us down a dead end path, and that's really what I'm getting out of all this.
And I'll just add one more point and everything, and then we'll close the show. You know, ladies, it's okay to just say that, you know, I don't really have I'm not meeting the kind of quality men that I'd like to believe should be in my life. It is okay to say that. No man is going to laugh at you, because here's the rub. It's so obvious to men that you aren't meeting the kind of men that you aren't meeting. It's obvious to men that you aren't meeting the kind of guys that you should be meeting. It's so obvious. And I tell women, if you could just, for a second, take your ego away and humble yourself and say, yeah, I think I'm a nice-looking girl. I really do. I've got my career. I think I'm a sweet girl, but I am not meeting those kind of guys. I really would like to meet. It's okay. Now we can help you. Now we can do something. But as long as it's the make-believe world of, oh, yeah, men, all it takes is a phone call, and I'll be having men beating down. Stop it. Stop
well,
it.
Well, and Blair, so this all is, the likes you're getting on Facebook, all the likes they get on Facebook.
Yeah. Likes mean nothing. It doesn't translate to much, and it can't translate into a marriage or men trying to really do anything with you. So yeah, that's all I say to my sisters is get off the delusional world for just a moment and say, yeah, I would like to have a guy do all those things you mentioned who has got my back, who's my rock, who, you know, helps me either pays all my bills or helps with the bills or whatever. I would like to have that, and I don't. I think I'm worthy. And then at that point we can say, okay, now we can work with you. But as long as it's kind of a, you know, it's almost like a, you know, an addiction. As long as you're sitting here, you know, got the shakes and like, no, I'm not addicted to crack. No, I don't know what you're talking about. And it's like, okay. So this is where I think, you know, sometimes guys is like, all right, well, just let them be. So for myself, I'm sure you said the same thing. I'm here to help you. You all can, if you have questions, you can inbox me on social media. My email address is nashlb@hotmail.com. My website is blairnashspeaks.com. So if I can be of any help to any of you, I mean that so sincerely, I will get you on the first step and get you right. So, Ted, do you have any closing thoughts?
This is a good show. We actually had men call in, so that's excellent.
Absolutely.
I thank all of our callers.
Absolutely. So thank you so much for calling in, everybody. I really appreciate it. Love you all. Have a great week, and we will see you again next Sunday. Be blessed.
Great. Thank you. Take care, everyone. Bye.